I got to tell you, see, this is what is great. And I'm serious. I get to talk about UFOs, conspiracy theories, all of these great things with a great guest like Emery Smith. And I also get to talk about heavy metal music and Sebastian Bach. I'm serious. How great life can be, like at this moment right here. You just don't get that anywhere else. By the way, there's a really amazing video over on coasttocoastam.com. And it's this driver in India who gets pulled over. He tries to park his car in a weird spot, and the police come up and they stop him for this traffic violation, and they try to give him a ticket. And he goes into this Linda Blair exorcist possession thing right there on the street that he's possessed. And he's trying to get out of this traffic ticket. You've got to go and see this video right now over at coasttocoastam.com. All right, I'm your host, Jimmy Church. It's Saturday night. I've got a bunch of questions here lined up that we are taking from callers. I've got callers lined up. I've got questions from Twitter lined up, all for Emery Smith. I anticipated all of this. Follow me on Twitter at JChurchRadio. Post your questions there. I'll get those into Emery. We'll take your phone calls. It's Saturday night. This is Old School Coast to Coast AM. Stay with us. Welcome back to Coast AM. Our guest tonight, Emery Smith. Emery's going to be with us for the full show. He doesn't have a choice at this point. We've got voices breaking in. We got threats. We got the man. And you know what, Emery? Never will they mess with our guest here on the show. So let's enjoy the moment. And the reason why I think it's so awesome, Emery, if you didn't matter, they wouldn't do anything. It's because you matter. Always remember that. If they didn't do anything, then you kind of got to rethink your life a little bit.
Hey, bring it on.
That's right.
I like all the attention.
That's right.
You guys want to challenge it? Let's go.
So I've got some calls. I do want to try to get to some calls tonight, but I do have some questions that were sent in too as well. And this is from Karen on Twitter. Karen says, can you ask Emery why we have so many dead alien bodies on hand? Have they been volunteered to come here for an eventual execution and scientific experimentation? Were they killed in military or security actions? Were they taken from crashes? And if so, why so many crashes? The excellent questions from Karen that need to be addressed here. Why do we have so much tissue samples and alien bodies lying around? Where are they coming from?
Absolutely. Great question, Karen. I mean, you know, there's bodies that are recovered from deep in space, exoatmospheric, we call it, and also within our atmosphere, also that are brought back that, you know, think their missions have gone wrong. And there's not always the attack situation, but, you know, let's just say extraterrestrials are not welcome here by the majority of humans that control the exoatmospheric planetary security system. So, yeah, they are shot down many times, but they're smart enough to know also to send in programmed life forms and clones and other, temporary life forms, by the way. They're not stupid enough to just, like, come down and, back in the day in the 20s and 30s and 40s, you know, this was the Disneyland of the universe, by the way. And I say that knowing information from extraterrestrials and the Galactic Federation, other things that are involved with, which we'll get into on different episodes. But what had happened is we started putting this, you know, security space system in place in the Reagan years and you know, after Eisenhower met with the extraterrestrials. And that was basically just because we were so insecure of another higher race that was more conscious and a higher IQ than us. And we were, of course, scared of that. Now, it's not usually normal, so everyone else knows that extraterrestrials are not trying to come over and take over the world. It was actually a nice meeting that was going on with the upper higher echelon of the world leaders, besides Eisenhower and others, that it came to the fact that we went back on our, you know, rule. which means we went back on our word, which was not good because it wasn't, you know, just because I signed a contract with you right now saying, yeah, this is okay, we're going to be great, we'll exchange technology. And, you know, my business partner next to me is saying, oh, yeah, that's great. And then tomorrow my business partner launches out and tries to, you know, take over and destroy a couple of extraterrestrial vessels when we already had a peace agreement. So it made us look really bad. And my business partner, meaning the other, you know, non-conforming industrial military complex. And that's where everything separated. So it made us look like we were not a race within our word, that we would stick to it. And, of course, then we became a threat. And one of the biggest, you know, questions I get is, you know, well, what about all the evil, you know, extraterrestrials and evil aliens, you know, quote unquote, which I don't like using that word. It's very derogatory. But I say, yeah, there's this group of extraterrestrials out there that are just, you know, horrible. And they, like, kill everyone and they kill themselves. And, you know, and they're like, well, what's that race called? And I said, well, I said, just look next to you. I said, they're human.
Right.
It's Earth. And it's sad to say that. And I say that jokingly, but I also say that, you know, with tears in my eyes, because we don't need to be like that. But getting back to the question with Karen is that, no, they're not being harvested out there. They're not being, you know, they come into the system. They will be, you know, taken out and shot down. But so they know, they do send in these animated, genetically modified bodies and people. So we will learn from them. And we do shoot these down. And we think we're big superheroes by, oh, wow, we got this new craft. And that was actually implemented on purpose. So we would, you know, consciously actually get this information and get this technology. And sometimes technology is forcefully planted here on Earth to help us, like, get out of this bug we're in.
Well, you also mentioned, and I want to, before we get away from this, you had mentioned that, you know, the difference between grown, laboratory grown tissue. So I'm assuming you're referring to cloned material, right? That,
yeah.
Okay.
I mean, right. Yeah, that's right. Cloned material. Great point, Jimmy. I mean, and not to get off the subject with.
No, because
I'm going to finish that.
Yeah, because it's not that's not necessarily a dead alien. That's just cloned alien tissue. And didn't necessarily come from a body at that point. Hey, you know, so you get rid of some of the moral issues and the ethical issues that come into play where the tissue came from.
Yeah, exactly. They kind of visualize this if they've grown something, like we grow a plant and then we eat it. It's no different to them as growing, a being that's not conscious or without some sort of consciousness in it that's not fully developed, that they, do these. I know it sounds very unethical, but it's a very different type of situation. It's no different than us eating a piece of lettuce, as than sending a piece of lettuce to Earth for helping a civilization mature.
Right. And, I'm sorry. I feel like I'm interrupting you, Emery. And I
No, please.
And I don't want the audience to think I'm being rude. We've had the funniest audio going on here tonight. We don't know what's going on. I'm hearing voices.
I hear it too.
It's distracting to me, and
very distracting to me. I can't barely hear you. I got my right. I have the, you know, I got the headphones on, and I'm hearing some very not nice things.
Yeah, it's weird. I've done many. This is 4 years I've done Coast, and I've never had interference coming in on the lines before. It sounds like it's on our end. But anyway, okay. So back to, and I'm trying to keep my train of thought moving forward here.
I don't want to get off the thing, but I'm also very concerned because of the things that are coming through right now. But I'm gonna keep going.
Okay, and so is there a difference between normal tissue and tissue that would come from an interdimensional object that materializes on the side? Is that tissue sample different?
Yes, and I'm so glad you brought that up, because what people, you know, this is my favorite topic, because what people don't understand is when you come into this dimension, you know, I don't care what dimension you're from, for all you little people, crazies out there that are amazing extraterrestrials and other things, when you come here, guess what? You fall under the laws of the 3D. That means you're not so special anymore. You're just an amazing human. And they think we are the superheroes of the universe, by the way, humans, because we're the most adaptable. They're jealous of our genetic DNA format because we can basically adapt to electromagnetic frequencies like fluorescent light bulbs, which actually, you know, kill us, UV light, which actually, you know, creates cancer. We adapt over, you know, hundreds of years to, you know, be able to eat, you know, fast food and still be okay. So under many generations, we are actually the most adaptable. And they look up to us. Like, I look up to them because I think they're fascinating. They look down to us and lift us up and are like, wow, look at this creation and look what they are doing. And
right.
Even under all this horrible stress, you know, that's upon them, they are still surviving. Even under all the stuff they have with, you know, electric and, you know, food, you know, horrible food and all the things around us, the paint and the clothes we wear, the dyes and the clothes are affecting us. We are, instead of us just dying off, we actually get stronger. So I always tell everyone, hey guys, don't think by changing your diet, you know, to do whatever, it's going to change the way you are here, because that might make you weaker. You might want to be influenced by viruses and colds and, you know, horrible foods and traveling around the world and picking up all these
diseases. It makes you stronger. Yeah, it makes you stronger.
It makes you impervious. We are the superheroes. I want people to know that everyone out there is amazingly strong superhero genetically DNA compared to an extraterrestrial of unearthed origin.
One of the things that I had the privilege to do is I introduced you in a weird way at a conference, and the support that you heard from backstage, they didn't even know that you were there, right? They didn't know.
Thank you.
But you got to hear that. So what
Thank
I would
you. Thank you.
Yeah, and it was great for me. So what I would like to do now is I want to bring in a couple of phone. I got time for one phone call before the break. So let's do this. Let's go to Carol in North Carolina. Carol, say hi to Emery Smith.
Hi, Emery and Jimmy. Emery, the 160 to 200 different entities you saw, did they have parts or organs that seemed to be comparable to our hearts and brains, or were they different, or they didn't have parts like that?
Thank you, Carol. Great question. Emery?
Excellent question, Carol. Excellent question. I get this a lot. And absolutely, just so everyone knows, they do have hearts and they do have brains, but they have like different sizes, and they also have different quadrants. So you might have a quad lobe of brain, you know, and I can show you, I'll send Jimmy a picture, you know, of the Atacama being, which I took the brain open on a CAT scan and 3D printed it, which no one has seen. And I can send that out. So, you know, here we're now talking about a couple of different lobes of the brain and a different, you know, maybe six or different chambers of a heart, or maybe 7 to 8 chambers of a uterus. So there is very similar things that are going on with all the different extraterrestrial entities out there that are very similar to us. It's just a little different.
And, okay, one more quick call. Let's see. Let's go east. Chris from Missouri, really quick. Say hi to Emery Smith. What do you have?
Hello, Emery. You hear me?
Hey, Chris.
Yes, we got you, Chris.
Hi. Oh, my God. All right. Well, Jimmy, I want to say anyway, you're a great substitution for George Norrie. I love him. But real quick, you were talking about, like, spacecrafts and everything. Apparently, you have some kind of knowledge about that. And what blew my mind open at all to the whole extraterrestrial even awareness or believing in it at all was the fact that one night I was driving home from work and happened to see three bright white lights in the sky over a cemetery, and it was shortly after 9/11, so I was almost thinking it was coming in closer as I saw it, and I thought it was like a plane about to crash, but as it got closer, it ended up becoming four bright white lights and ended up hovering about a telephone and a half worth of height above the ground from my car. I'm kind of like, I wasn't expecting to be on right now, so I'm like thrown off. But it hovered right above the, well, not right above the car, but close enough. And it was probably a half a city block in size. It was a solid black pyramid, and all four bottom tips of it were glowing bright, pure white light. And there was this like circular light underneath it. It looked like an inverted tornado of liquid white light being sucked up into the bottom of the craft. I didn't know what that was, but it stopped there and hovered for a couple minutes. I got out of my car. It was like late at night, so there was nobody on the road. So I just stopped my car in the middle of the road, got out, and I started watching it. And it suddenly dawned on me, like, I need to, like, I didn't have a camera or anything. Like, it was back before, like, cell phones were so camera ready and everything. And I was like, I need to get a witness to see this with me. So if nothing else, I can have somebody else, like, verify what I just saw. And as soon as I had that thought, I ran to the nearest house off the side of that street, banged on the door, and I kept watching it the whole time. It stayed there the whole time until I started banging on that door. It was like it was watching me and saw me run to this house. And as soon as I got to the door and started banging on the door, it just zoomed off and went back in the door. Basically, my question is I've always wondered about it. I wondered if it was extraterrestrial or some sort of like secret space program type craft, that, you know, something of ours, maybe reverse engineered or something. I had no idea, but I've been thinking about it for like the past 15 or whatever years now that it's been since then. And I just wondered if you had any kind of insight you could give me on it.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely, Chris.
Absolutely. Great question. And I get a lot of this as well. And, you know, 85% to 90% of the sightings are reverse engineered craft that we have developed that we send out, and things happen and some people see. And then the other percentage, you know, as Project Blue Book and everyone else, is kind of unexplained, which means it most likely is of extraterrestrial, you know, divination. And it's a great thing that happened to you. And the thing I could tell everyone out there is when you do see a craft, you know, don't be afraid. Just look at it. And, you know, if you are afraid, it's not real, because you wouldn't feel afraid if it was extraterrestrial.
Yeah, let me jump in. We got to take a break right here, Emery. Awesome, awesome phone calls. And we got to take a break. But I photographed a flying pyramid off the coast of California back in 1995. I've got on film a flying pyramid at about 60,000 feet. This is Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. More with Emery Smith and your phone calls next. Now, check this out. Over at the news section in coasttocoastam.com, there's a guy from Idaho. He's visiting Scotland, goes to Loch Ness, and sees the Loch Ness Monster. That's right. Dakota Franzen is his name. Reportedly caught sight of this shape in the waters near Urquhart Castle, which sits on the shore of Loch Ness right there. And you can check out the full story right now over in the news section at coasttocoastam.com. Yeah, we've got the breaking paranormal news right here. Our guest tonight, Emery Smith. I've opened up the phone lines. I've got tons of questions here from Twitter. I've got questions that have come in via phones. I've got it all for Emery Smith. We're going to continue all of that right after this short break. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. This is Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast AM. Our guest tonight, Emery Smith. Emery, it's just been absolutely entertaining tonight. And one of the points that I brought up right before the break is that when I introduced you, the audience didn't know that you were there. And you didn't know that I was about to go out on stage and do that. And there's 1,000 people. It was or more. And when I told them that the louder that they got, maybe you would hear it and we could draw you in, right? What? Right. What did you think about that?
It was a very overwhelming emotional time for me. You know, I get it. You know, it's just one of those things that I didn't know you were going to do that, number one. And when it did happen, it was nice to know that there's some people there to have my back, because, you know, me coming forward, you know, after all this time, it's pretty hard, because I knew there's going to be a group of people that would support it and a group that would probably think I'm a kook or something. And it was hard. And I did come through, and it did work out well. And I just said, okay. And, you know, that's why I came out there. And the applause of all the people standing up and, you know, the gratitude was really overwhelming for me, to be honest. And I just really appreciate it. I want to thank you to all my fans, and thank you to everyone out there supporting me, because I can't do this without you. And you guys are the ones.
Thank you for that, man. But I just wanted you to hear that from the audience in a grand form. And with that, let's go to, are you ready for this call? Let's go to Brenda. And she is in Alamogordo, New Mexico. Brenda, say hi to Emery Smith.
Hi, Emery, and thanks for taking my call tonight.
What do you have, Brenda?
Hey, Brenda. Well, first of all, I wanted to thank Emery for doing the great work, as well as the late, great Phil Snyder, who has disclosed different things that are happening. Being next to Holloman Air Force Base, of course, I have seen my fair share of interesting things, whether it be our own military or other. But my question for you tonight is, with Star Trek, Star Wars, the Series V, the coming Bright episode, Men in Black, any movies with an ET entity, which is an endless list, are they actually representations of what real ETs are? And is it for predictive programming for us for later disclosure?
Wow. Great question, Brenda. Thank you for that. Emery?
Great question, Brenda. I love it. And yeah, that is true. I mean, there is I know the American Picture Association president, and I'm not going to get into that too much, but it is basically, just so you know, a movie is released every month, usually about extraterrestrials of some sort. Unfortunately, it's usually negative, but it is preparing. It is preparing the world and the religious communities to be prepared. For, you know, something, and programming us to, you know, be prepared for something like this to come forward. And it is happening as we speak. And most of the movies out there, just so everyone knows, and so, you know, they are doing this with cartoons and animation, and also, you know, getting the picture and the message out to children that, you know, extraterrestrials do exist, and these things are not going to be a scary thing or an unknown thing when it does happen. And then the other part of that is the technology that everyone sees in the sci-fi movies and all that stuff is basically like probably a few hundred years behind us. and I say that with the utmost respect to all the engineers and people out there, as myself, as inventors. You know, they're already, you know, a few hundred years to 1,000 years more advanced of what we got. We already have the iPhone, 50X, but we're not going to release it yet because it won't make any money. So we're going to, you know, slowly tease everybody with all these amazing technologies and all the stuff you see on there, the extraterrestrials. It's a very, especially the animated part where they're, you know, developing these in Hollywood studios is, very manipulative. And, you know, there are some amazing movie directors out there. I won't say names, but.
Well, is it predictive? You know, is it predictive programming into mass consciousness?
Yes.
It is. I've always feared that. And there's one other question I had for you. This is from me. What about the eyes? And it doesn't matter what we are dealing with here, whether it's some type of insect, ET, or praying mantis, or Arcturian, Nordic, grays. It doesn't matter to me. What did you see? Were you able to analyze and check out different beings' eyes?
Yeah, that's a very fantastic question, and that's my
one of the things is when you look at something, whether it's an animal like my dog, I look at my dog and they look back, you know, it's like got this connection.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're, you know, either dissecting or doing harvesting on, you know, humans or extraterrestrials, you always look at the eyes. You know, it's just it's a given. You
right,
know, you're,
right.
You're going to do it. Something's drawn. You know, we're all drawn to that, you know, I don't know, that personal experience and eyes of connection, I think, to the soul and to the astral body. For those of you that are conscious, and that says, hey, wow, okay, there is something here looking at me, or there's something here that could have or would have actually seen me. And they all do have eyes, and everyone has eyes. And for the majority, or the highest, you know, most percentage is, yeah, they do have the two arms, two legs, and a head, and two eyes, and a heart, and a brain, and some other things that are very consistent with all beings, I think, of the three-dimensional universe.
What about, you know what, before I'm looking at the clock, let's go ahead and take a couple of more calls here. Let's go to Danny in Alaska. Danny, you're up next on Coast.
Yeah. Hi, Jimmy. How you doing there? I wanted to ask mainly about El Dulce, and I was in an incident on the USS Ranger in Vietnam. And I told George about it a couple of months ago, but I want to bring it up again tonight with this man here, and maybe he knows something about it. But it was some kind of UFO over there in Vietnam. We were at Yankee Station. This was 1971, early 1971, and nothing at all on radar. I didn't see it myself because I was getting some sleep. I'm on the catapult crew, and I had to get a precious sleep. My buddy told me about it. He was on lookout watch, TC, and he said we had nothing on radar. The whole starboard side of that ship was lights. And
well, what's the question, Danny? What's the question?
One UFO I did see was in Healdsburg, California, and with a lady. Her husband had originally been with the moon launch, Mr. Spears, and we were watching a meteorite shower. And there was a large dome light there after an airplane, a private plane, went across that horizon. It took about 25, 30 minutes for that small plane, because we were on top of this mountain. It was just beautiful up there. And we were talking about UFOs, as a matter of fact. And all of a sudden, to the left was this huge dome light. And it was about, looked like it was about six or seven times the size of that airplane.
Mm-hmm.
By this time, that airplane was gone. We couldn't even see it no more. And we were watching that white dome light, and it just sat there and sat there. We watched it for about 8-9 minutes, I'd say. And then all of a sudden, Jimmy, that thing went across the sky, that same amount of sky in about 10 seconds.
Yeah, it's incredible, Danny, and thank you for the phone call. When you hear that, Emery, I mean, something's going on.
El Dulce, I want to find out about El Dulce, though, Jimmy.
Okay, Dulce, okay, we'll do that. Emery?
Yeah, I mean, Dulce does exist, and yeah, these craft do exist. And if you see a craft moving a little bit abnormally through the sky, you know, they have their own gravitational field. So no one's being affected inside the craft, even though they're going 2,000 an hour and making a right-hand turn. Jimmy, are you hearing what I'm hearing?
Yeah, something's weird going on the line again.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
somebody's breaking in. Somebody doesn't want you to talk. And let me.
They don't want me talking about Dulce, number one, but I will talk about it if we can continue this. I don't know if you actually hear me right now because I'm hearing a lot of
Yeah, we can hear you. It's just not going out over the airwaves, this other interference. And I'm just letting the audience know. Some can hear it, some can't. It's bizarre. It's bizarre.
Yeah, it is a very unnatural noise. But getting back to the question is, these craft create their own gravitational pull, and we have conquered that, you know, on ourselves with our alien reproduction vehicles, ARVs. But to get to the point is, yes, these craft could, may or may not be. I think at that time in the early 70s, you know, we were, you know, practicing, you know, that type of thing back then, believe it or not. But getting back to Dulce now, I didn't really get a specific question on Dulce. Dulce does exist. Could you, Jimmy, enlighten me about the question before that?
Yeah, Danny hung up, and Danny wanted to know if he wanted information on Dulce. Now, what's interesting here, for the audience that may not know about your background, Emery, is that you were stationed at Kirtland. Kirtland is attached to Sandia. This is all in Albuquerque, up against the mountains there in the foothills of Albuquerque. But Dulce and White Sands and the testing all the way down to Roswell, there are different facilities all across New Mexico. It all exists there. And so you were at Dulce, but you didn't know you were at Dulce.
Well, I'll just say the underground system that we use for transportation travels from Nevada Area 51 over to White Sands up to Mount. There's another secret base in Mountaineer that then goes to Mountaineer, New Mexico. Sorry, so White Sands to Mountaineer, New Mexico, to Kirtland Air Force Base, New Mexico, which is Sandia Labs, to Los Alamos Labs, to Dulce, New Mexico, up to Crestone, underground base in Crestone, Colorado, to Colorado Springs, and then to Denver, and then that's it. I don't know where it goes from there on out, because I know through secondhand information where it may go, but I do not know where it goes through beyond that. And I can only say that I've been to these places. Dulce, I did not actually was stationed at Dulce, but I did go to Dulce through the maglev system in 1993, and I was only there on a changeover for something else. But it does exist, and most of my work was done at Kirtland and Mountaineer and also Los Alamos.
Let's go east of the Rockies. Timmy, really quick before we hit this break, say hi to Emery. What's your question?
Hey, Emery, great show, guys. Happy Easter. Just want to do a quick shout-out to Alden, East Alden, and Jacksonville, Florida. My question is the Antarctica, North Pole. Russians are trying to get the North Pole. They've claimed it. The alien activity there is pretty heavy, I believe. Again, I don't know if aliens are or beings or spiritual beings or what, but something's going on. Also, I just want to do a quick plug for my Leprechaun on Call. It's probably a nonprofit, helps elderly people with home repairs. But that's my question, guys, and it's a great show, and happy Easter.
Yeah, thank you, Timmy. Emery, everybody wants to know, what's going on in Antarctica?
Let's go to Antarctica. I'm bringing you guys with me on my new documentary that I'm going to be shooting this year that we're trying to raise some money for. I could use everyone's help. I'm bringing my team down there, and I'm going to show you guys something you guys won't even believe. But what's going on is there is, of course, underground facilities in Antarctica. There's base there. There is extraterrestrial craft there. And one of the biggest things I get, Jimmy, is, well, Anthony, when are you going to disclose this? When are you going to disclose that? I said, it's already been disclosed. I said, I'm not the superhero here, because everyone in all the countries have already disclosed all the information. I think we already know that there are extraterrestrials and things that exist that we do not understand scientifically, but it will be brought out. And I said, the biggest question I get is, well, you know, who's going to be, you know, what country is going to be the biggest, you know, person? Is it going to be China? Are they going to come forward? Is it going to be France? Because France, you know, did sign a thing, you know, with CSETI, coming forward with some things with Dr. Greer. And then, you know, so everyone's like, well, who's going to be that? You know, and I said, oh, well, I know an entity that's coming forward with it, and it's unstoppable, and you cannot kill her, and it is gonna happen with or without the G7, G8 countries, you know, permission, and without Majestic 12 or whatever you guys want to call them. And, you know, next thing is, well, who is that? Can you divulge that information? I said, yeah, it's Gaia. And I'm not talking about Gaia TV. I'm talking about Gaia Earth. Earth, you know, the warming of the climate is melting the Antarctic ice shelf. And there is a lot of craft there. And there is no way that it cannot be covered up and hidden when you have a 30-mile-long craft that is sticking out of the Antarctic ice caps and melting down. So I said, Earth,
is going to disclose to the world extraterrestrials and extraterrestrial technology and the lost city of Atlantis and some other civilizations.
How are you going to get your team down there? I mean, what kind of permission do you need? You don't get a visa for
you don't. It's not it's not just a passport, I'll say, to get down there.
Right.
And I have a couple of corporations and people that want to jump on board to help us get down there with the proper authorities, because we all know I can't just run down there. Just so you know, the last three expeditions went down there. They did not come back. Civilian expeditions. And I knew who they are, and they all perished because they were looking for something else. However, the right amount of crowdfunding and raising with Zero Cross Productions and The Truth is Stranger, head up by, a couple of my colleagues, Sergio Estes and Alejandro there with Productions. We have the ability, just so everyone knows, to fly a couple of our drones, long-distance drones, not the drones you go buy at Brookstone, but we have special drones we have access to and satellites, with, I won't say the name of the corporation that launches those satellites, but we have the ability to attach these amazing cameras and things to fly, just do one flyover and get some amazing footage, and then map it out and then go down there with a team, because there is a team down there that I do have contact with that has offered me security and safety to go down there with a small group of people, less than 10, to not get into the underground facility, but to get near it and do our own little investigation. And
let me jump in right there. I've got to take a break, Emery. Our guest tonight, Emery Smith. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Saturday night, this is Coast to Coast AM.